Okay, hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another special episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister Kix. Hi.
Hi.
Are you crying?
I wasn't emotional, but then all of a sudden I started getting a little emo about things.
Okay, so don't fret. The podcast isn't going anywhere. We are celebrating our 1 year of doing this podcast, and Kix is sobbing in the chat.
No, not sobbing. I am tearing up.
Wow. It's really cool. It really is cool. And I just want to first say thank you to you, Kix, for me on this journey. I was unemployed and you were employed, and I was like, I want to start a podcast. And you're like, well, can I come on? I'm like, well, do you just want to be on it?
And then I said yes. And here we are a year later. It's just us two today.
Yes.
Which feels like very full circle and very exciting. Mm-hmm. So, and Tom, I want to thank you for inviting me on this journey because initially, like we said, it was only, you guys, a lot of you, if you've been here from the beginning, saw that the logo is just Tom and now it's us. So it was Tom's baby that I forced myself to be a part of.
Yeah, but I listen to like when I listen to Kendrick's podcast, I'm like, Kendrick, how on earth? There are episodes I'll listen to of him, because shout out to Kendrick, love you. Thank you. And thank you to Kendrick. He's been one, him and Taria have both been two of our most frantic, oh my God, so and so backed out. Can you please come on in 30 minutes?
Yeah, are you free in 15?
There was a lot. There was an IG Live that I remember I was like, I texted Taria and I was like, this feels crazy, but are you available in 10 minutes to go live with me?
And she said yes.
Yes, because she's the best. No, but when I listen to people like Kendrick who sit alone for, there's some episodes he has for an hour and a half. Alone?
This morning, yeah. Because I was thinking about speaking so long by myself.
Why are you thinking about that?
I could ever do. I was actually thinking about this morning this morning I was so tired and I needed to get ready for the day. And I was like, all right, Kix. I asked my Alexa to start my day. I'm like, you need to brush your teeth. You need to take a shower, because things like that make you feel better when you go to work.
They do.
And don't forget to feed your cat. And I'm talking to myself for probably 10 minutes, just telling myself that I need to get things done, because if not, I would have just laid in bed.
Okay.
And I had to move my car. And that was it. And I was exhausted by listening to myself talk. So
yeah, but
I
you're talking about boring things. Self-help is so boring.
Taking care of yourself is so boring.
No, it's the last person you want to hear take care of yourself from is yourself. Sometimes me being like, when I have that self-realization moment where I'm like, you need to stop doing that. I'm like, okay, first of all, whoa. Second of all, thank you. It's been a wild ride. I was I just posted on the Instagram for people to let us know what their favorite Dumpster Dive moment is. And
we're recording this Thursday night. Yeah. So if you're listening to this Friday, which you will be, thank you for tuning in. But also, the story might be gone.
No, it should be there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It should be there because I posted it just now. So it'll be up all day tomorrow. But do tell us. I would love to hear what your favorite episode is. Two that came in before we started recording. One, Eugene let us know that his favorite, which I forgot about this because we recorded so many episodes. We've recorded 107 episodes and then more on the Patreon.
Wait, 107?
Yeah.
Weren't we supposed to be excited about our 100th episode?
The problem was the 100th didn't line up well with our birthday. And it was like, is it 100? Or is it the birthday? I think birthday feels more fun, 100 is oh God, you did 100 episodes in under a year?
Yeah.
Why did you do that?
Yeah, first of all, whoa.
No, we're probably over 100. We're probably 120 because of Patreon.
Yeah.
No, let me find, the other one first. The other one, Kathleen, which we love you, Kathleen. She wrote in that her favorite was the That's Gay Pride episode with Bradley.
Oh my God.
Bradley with Bradley and Spencer. That was one of the most fun times. I should go back and listen to that episode.
I was honestly, when you said that, I was like, yeah, I'm going to listen to that. I typically, like, I'll listen to the, sometimes to get the full listen, I'll listen to it without sound because sometimes I just don't need to hear myself speak. So, but I think I will listen to that
one. Yeah, that's an LOL. That was in June. I don't know the episode number, but check it out. Also, Eugene, once again, I just want to make sure everyone rate, reviews, subscribes to Problematic Pod. Cast because that's Eugene's podcast and he's been one of our sweetest and most loyal supporters from the beginning, so please go send him some love. He said that his favorite was when Monty did a whole Summer House episode without watching but didn't tell us, and I had no to find out when idea. I went on her podcast.
Not a clue.
If you're walking down the street, wouldn't have known.
But in all seriousness, this has been such a crazy year in the best way possible. And bitch, we ain't going anywhere. So don't fret.
No, not going anywhere. We have a lot of fun guests planned here in the second season of Dumpster Dive. We also have some exciting kind of pivots to what the podcast is. If you are tuning in here and you have been like in and out, we are shifting our two episodes a week a bit. We're still covering everything that's live happening on Bravo, but then also we are going to kind of dive into Housewives past a little bit for the remainder of the year and see how that feels. So
spooky, scary, yeah, so skeleton.
So spooky season is upon us. Is here. She's arrived. And for spook sees, we are covering Halloween and costume parties of Housewives past. And we did already record our first episode, which is with Taria and Noor. Taria of What Else Is Going On, Noor of The Reality Is, and we are talking about Pillow Fight or Pillow Talk. The slumber party episode in season 6, episode 13 of Atlanta. I'm telling you this because you should go watch it tonight, okay?
Please, for the love of God, watch it. If you're new to Bravo and you listen to us and you can relate to me because I'm not as well-versed in the head as Tom is with Bravo, I highly recommend going back and watching it. Before you listen to the episode, it was so enchanting. Like, I was literally, couldn't look away.
Here's the thing. I think there are multiple eras of Bravo. I think the first era began, obviously, when it began, but then ended around, I would say, I think the table flip in, like, the first season of New Jersey, because that was the fourth franchise.
The table flip heard around the world.
Because that was the fourth franchise that had aired. So if we had, mm-hmm. we had about three or four seasons of OC. We had one season of Atlanta, one season of New York, maybe two seasons of New York, and New Jersey came around, and I remember being like, why do we need New Jersey? I mean, we grew up in Texas. I was like, New Jersey, that's New York. Like, what's right. different? Yeah. Little do I know, everything.
yeah.
Well, I think the first era was, you have pre-Teresa table flip, right?
Yeah.
And then the next era was, like, from there until, for me, I think it was until the Bethany Jill fallout, because that was the first time we had really seen housewives like who were friends like not be friends anymore. Like Kim and Nene were always friends, but it's like, no, y'all right. are frenemies, always have been, and you were like, let's throw down on the show. And then I think post that was when we had the real Atlanta renaissance, because season 3 through, I would say, about like 7 of Atlanta are A plus television. So we were covering the season 6 episode, and we talked about this mm-hmm. on the podcast, but I noticed that I was like, season 6 of Atlanta has almost 30 episodes, including reunion.
It's crazy.
30?
It's
that's like Grey's so Anatomy's ABC like season 1.
You hardly get that that quantity of episodes in anything except like network television, I right. guess maybe, but like now we're lucky to get 12.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
Well, what you mean it? In reality, or you mean not in Housewives?
Yes, in reality TV.
No, but in Housewives last. Usually we go until about 16, 17, and then there's three reunions. So we normally hit around 20. Roni.
Jersey?
I know, but those were COVID seasons. Like Roni. Oh, Roni
Roni
and Jersey were cut short. Talking, yeah. But usually we're wrapping around 20. I mean, last night's Beverly Hills was episode 19, I believe, or 20. Mm-hmm, which that makes my mind go wild that we've covered 20 weeks. Like, what am I?
And we're about to cover four more.
I know. We have another month. Oh, my God.
And that's what I was saying. Four per reunions stress me out for my viewing. And then I had to be like, oh, we have four more weeks of Beverly Hills to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah, it's disturbing. It's a commitment. I also want to tell everyone. I do want to tell everyone. I was looking at the guest calendar today. And Kix and I have 9-to-5s. I just want to remind everyone, you know, we have jobs. Working when I started this here podcast, I had no income. But now I have a job, thank God. Praise him. And just sometimes, praise they.
You're right.
Because literally God is a they.
God is a they.
There's no way God has a dick or a vagine. There's no way.
No.
No, I don't believe in God. But
first of all, why would someone know that? Is something wild?
I can't. The fact that someone was like, "God, I've seen it," that dick. Fat ass dick.
Tell me when to stop. Tell me when to stop.
You know why it is? Because people are so horny for a daddy from the beginning of time.
Jesus has two dads, so there it is. That's gay, right, gay. Sonny?
Yeah, the idea that like.
We really
I'm getting really mad now. Oh, God, I hate organized religion. I'm getting really mad. I'm probably going to lose people on this. I was listening to Sibling Rivalry today, which, by the way, Monet says hi. I DM'd with Monet the other day.
I miss her.
I know. I love her so much. I was like, do you want to come on the pod? And she was like, hee hee, miss you. No. Which I'm like, girl, I get it. Because you should be taking, we can't write you a check and other people can. Take the checks. And when we can write you a check.
Take the checks.
We will write you a motherfucking check.
You know what? Actually, I've given her probably $200.
That's not
singles.
What an appearance fee would be, though. Dude, you're like, I thought you were going to be, I thought you were going to say like $1,000. I think I personally have given her $200. She's a millionaire. She doesn't need $200.
No, Tom, I have personally seen you hand her a flat 20.
Absolutely. There's no one I love more on this planet than Monet Exchange. So that's not true. I love you. But I just mean like in terms of like in term outside of family, like outside of performers, Monet Exchange is elite. Okay.
She's the best.
And if you know who we're talking about, which if you don't, what are you doing? Monet, if you know Monet from Drag Race, I should say. Monet did an awesome job on Drag Race. You just don't even know the half of it though.
No.
You don't get it. You haven't seen her do what she does. And what she does is legendary. Kix and I were both in really dark periods of our life. And we're at her show every Saturday at, 5 o'clock? I didn't mean to diagnose you as a dark period of your life, but I think we were in a rough spot.
It was fine. I mean, everyone's at a dark
new to the
period
city.
Of their life
I was like
from
in and out.
21 to 26.
Well, right. Like, you were new to the city. I was in and out of, like, the worst relationship I could be in. And, yeah, we were just like, want to go to Monet.
Fireball and Monet Exchange. And Tom handing her literally whole 20s.
From my mouth. Sometimes I just put them in my mouth and make out with her and give it to her. There's a legendary photo.
So fucking gross. Could you imagine doing that post-COVID?
Could you imagine doing it pre-COVID? Like, no cares
I
in the
actually
world.
Saw the picture you're about to talk the about eye, like the other day because I was trying to find something on my phone.
I just thought about I was listening to I'm shouting out all the podcasts. I actually do want to take a moment to shout out podcasts that we love.
Okay, so I do before we get into that.
We're talking about everything under the sun. That's not how sex.
Everything and nothing. I wrote because I'm crazy. I was like probably drunk, right, being like, I should write. I have some ideas about writing something to say for our 1 year.
Okay.
And then I went to go see, and I forgot about it until just now. I went to
when
go.
When did you do it?
It doesn't say because I just added something to it because I just thought of a really good idea for an Easter episode. But anyways, I just like reading it. I was like, this is also true. We started a business as brother, sister, unintentionally, truly. Uh-huh. And that we never really understood that what it was going to be and the workload that it was going to entail. And as someone who's on the less workload side of the whole thing.
Continue.
I don't know. We've just interviewed some really, like, true icons.
Yeah.
In television, as well as met some of, like, our greatest friends.
Yeah.
In the past year.
There's a lot of lifelong friends we have definitely made. And I'm not going to do shout outs because I hate, I don't want people to be like, wait, you don't think.
You missed me.
You don't think XYZ is a lifelong friend? So we're not going to go there. But
no.
In general, the Bravo community has been, the people we've had. I'm willing to go there. I haven't been drinking this week, and I'm having little sips of this, and I'm feeling frisky and free.
Feeling feisty.
No, everyone's been amazing. I cannot believe a couple of people that I've been obsessed with forever that I couldn't believe we recorded with. One, shout out to Pat Regan. That was like a get that we got right in the beginning. He like truly was like, who the fuck are right these in the people? Beginning. And it like helped get our podcast on the map. And Pat is on to bigger and better things than who the fuck we are. But I just want to say thank you, Pat. Because that was a big moment for us.
Tip my hat to Pat. That was big.
And follow Pat. Pat's amazing. Also, I mean, detox. That still feels like a fever dream.
A fever dream.
And we're still friends on PlayStation.
I was like, good. A fever dream that I was like, wow. Detox and I have a lot in common. That's something I would never go through.
What do you have in common? Weird
video games.
Okay. I was like, where does that start and
end? No, I mean, like, it was just such an easy conversation that I will honestly never forget it for, like, ever.
Yeah, that was a bucket list moment. I also, there are a lot of comedians we've had on that I've followed through, and Kix, too, have followed through. The podcasts we love, like Lisa Traeger, Megan Gailey, Kara Klank, Brian Moylan. Like, there are so many writers, comedians that we've had on. And, like, I am, like, a diehard bitch sesh person from the beginning. I know we all have, like, our origins of podcasts. And bitch sesh was really, like, and everyone has opinions about every Bravo podcast. Like, I don't like them because they're blah, 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 blah. I find...
So keep it to
yourself. A, keep it to yourself. B... Bitch sesh to me, I love so much because they have no fucking clue about anything that goes on in social media. It's like it's refreshing to just hear two funny people be so fucking funny together. And so in the second year, I want to get Casey and Danielle on the pod.
Put it into the cinematic universe, honey. It's going to happen.
Yeah. What are some other, I mean, I know the answer to this, but I want you to just like shout out. Who are some other podcasts that like A, dream guests and B, like are the reason why we're here?
I mean, like, from what I listen to.
No, like, why are we podcasting today? There are people that I can list off. Who do you think?
Well, Kid, Fury, and Crystal are dream. Their friendship, their banter is something that Tom and I've always like been like, we have similar shit talk energy that like I've always loved them so much.
And if you are a white person. Okay. And you're like, I want to listen to The Read.
If you're asking yourself who those people are.
First of all, they're not for us. They're not.
They make it
so clear. I'm like, this podcast is not for us, but I encourage you to listen. It is a great podcast about all things black culture and black excellence. And Kid Fury and Crystal are absolutely black excellence. And I just want to throw all my dollars at them. And I have because I've bought their merch.
Yeah. And then because I have weird tastes in podcasting, I listen to a lot of dark
shit.
You're
like Joe Rogan. No, I'm kidding.
No, yeah. Kelly Dodd.
Mark Maron. Well, Mark Maron's not problematic, but that's just boring.
No, I mean, I listened to them right before we started recording, last podcast on the left, if you are a true crime comedy person who likes to crush beers and talk shit about true crime and comedy, I've been listening to them for almost 8 years now. And
that long?
They, yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is a long time.
They were talking about like their 10-year anniversary or something. And I was like, I'm not far from that with the, like, from me being a listener. So,
well, the Kid Fury and Crystal on this week's episode were talking about how they started in 2013 and I started listening in like 2015. I'm like, holy shit. I've been listening for 6 years.
2015 is a long time ago. Yeah.
Like, that's been my weekly, like go on a walk with the dogs podcast. And that's 6 years of that.
Yeah. So, and
there's two more we got to mention. Hobby. There's three more we got to mention.
Okay.
Keep going though.
I was just going to say, like, you can turn hobbies into, this is getting so non-related to Bravo.
We've and
so
unrelatable, Bravo. Honestly. Because don't make so a podcast because the space is crowded, okay?
It's crowded, but like, no, I'm there's kidding. Room for.
Do make a podcast. If you have something to say, do it. Why the fuck not?
Unless you're Kelly Smelly Dodd, if you will.
Yeah, Smelly Dodd.
She shouldn't have one, but no, I'm just saying that like, it's worth investing time into a hobby that you love. And like, again, a podcasting in a weird or pod listening to podcasts is so major in a lot of people's lives, but like actually doing it is a lot of fucking work. But like, if you're invested in something and invested in a hobby, and just do it. Go like, I don't like that's yeah.
So think about and think about like podcasts, like both The Read and Last House on the Left, right? Those are podcasts that have been around for so long, podcasts, right?
But yeah,
what?
Last podcast.
I said Left. Last podcast, didn't I?
Oh, I thought you said House. Oh. It's a movie. It's a scary movie.
No, I know. We're babies. Like when we're hard on ourselves about things, we're babies. But I do want to give a huge shout out to three more real quick, and then we'll stop gushing about other podcasts. First one.
You're gonna make me guess.
How Did This Get Made? If June Diane Raphael is a queen, an icon, a legend. She is always the moment. Love her. Love Paul Scheer. Jason Mantzoukas, I want you to marry our friend Grace.
Yes. I think about it every episode.
I think it's honestly same. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see what Grace and Jason do together. Secondly, the Culturistas boys. They are truly bright lights in every week, and I really love those boys so much. Don't know them at all, but I just want them to know that we love them. Matt and Bowen, y'all are the best. And then lastly, I think we have to give our biggest shout out to the people we've thrown the most money at, and that is Brian Safi and Aaron Gibson.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Anchor.
No, we've gone to like three Throwing Shade shows.
No, I thought you were going to say Anchor podcast. No. Which, thanks for hosting.
No, Brian and Aaron. I think they are our like origin story. Because I feel like that was the first podcast you and I started listening to both together.
Together.
Not in the same room. That's psychotic.
Yeah, sitting there just cozy.
If you listen to a podcast with someone else, you have problems. Okay. That's weird.
Unless you're like cleaning the house. And the podcast is on.
I'm sorry. If I, like, even when I've heard about people like, yeah, we're on a drive and we just put on a podcast to listen. I'm like,
yeah,
that feels so weird because I want to.
Why?
I want to listen on my own and laugh at what I want to laugh at. I don't want to laugh at what I don't want to be like.
Okay, that's a personal opinion because I have listened to podcasts on a long drive while cleaning the house with someone else. And it's nice.
I think for me, it's a private moment. So like, if anyone heard all the things that are in my AirPods, like in my Beats, they would be like, what are you listening to while you work?
Okay. That happened to me today at work though. I took out my AirPods while I was listening to Last Podcast on the Left and I put them in my case and then they started playing and it was like grown men screaming about serial killers. So
well, I was listening to Thought Shit by Megan Thee Stallion and I unplugged my headphones from my computer and the whole office turns around. It's like hands on your knees, like
hands on my knees, take an ass on the lunch.
But we'll end our podcast promo moment there. Those people don't need any promotion, and if they ever lay their ears on this, you're welcome. You gained probably a listener. No, but we're just happy to be on the same apps as y'all.
Technically, yeah.
And also, shout out to us. We did chart. We were 100.
Bitch, we charted. We were 100,
number 140 on TV and film once.
In the U.S.
In the United States.
And then Australia and Canada and Sweden.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we should jump into the shows because there's a lot to jump into here.
Yeah.
What do you want to start with?
Let's start with BH because it's like most recent.
Okay. Kind of a sleeper into the season. The fights are the same fights we've been seeing, but I also love this season a lot. I like I'm at the point where I would almost rewatch it. And I haven't been that way with a season of Housewives since like season 9, 10, 11 of New York.
It was such a, when you were saying that this is episode 19 or 20, what'd you say?
It's, I don't know. It's one or the other.
Whatever. I was like, what the fuck have we done except talk about Erica, Sutton, Crystal. But I'm like, normally I would be like, there's no storyline here. There's only one storyline, which is classic BH, mm-hmm. where there's only one storyline the whole season. And technically, there has been. But the reason this season has been so wonderful is because of Sutton, Crystal, Garcelle, and shout out to Kathy.
I gotta throw my girl Kyle in the mix a little bit here because I do think she made a lot of, no matter how much you hate her, okay, I know people.
I don't hate
no,
her.
No, I know you don't. But I know a lot of people hate her. I think that she was a great guide this season. She guided us through conversations. She facilitated a lot of conversations. And a lot of people are like, yeah, but that means she's a pot stirrer. And it's like, okay, you're watching Housewives. Like, why do we hate pot stirrers all of a sudden?
She's is the one, like, you can, we even saw it at the dinner where she started and egged people on in such a subtle way where we've been talking about it so much, so I was like noticing it more. But like when her and Sutton went to the bathroom and like it wasn't really weird, you know, she's just like really working hard for her job, like
yeah.
she's like doing her job, and I don't know why she's, again, this isn't, I know this is shady, but I don't know why she's people's favorite housewife. I think she's just like,
I think it's because she feels, I think she feels normal. Like, she doesn't feel that unrelatable. Like, her life is so unrelatable. She has more money than anyone. But there's something about her just doing her makeup. Like, she does, she never has glam. She's like, I just have good taste. Like, and like, she is kind of down for anything. Like, she's not.
Her dogs are horribly behaved.
But she's like down to do anything. Like, she's not really like a. She's a good time girl, I think. I think she literally is fun. Yeah. I think I agree. If the three of us went out together, I think we would have a blast.
Yeah.
Could I afford any places we go to? Absolutely not. No. But not I think it'd be a blast.
Maybe she would pay.
She would absolutely pay. She doesn't feel stingy to me.
Mm-mm.
I feel like she picks up tabs all the time around that group.
Well, she brought a $20,000 purse to a
that they carried a chair dinner. Out for her. That was pretty iconic.
I was cackling the fact that the woman didn't let Dorit put her bag on it, but
I thought you were referring to Dorit as the woman.
No.
Yes, that Dorit's little Louis Vuitton bag didn't suffice for a chair, but her Birkin did.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, dollars. That bag is probably, like, Dorit's is probably, like, $1,500.
Yeah, and Kyle's is probably, like,
and Kyle's is $20,000.
More.
No. They showed it on screen. Oh, they did?
Mm-hmm. It was $20,000.
Imagine spending $20,000 on a bag.
Dana Pam spent $25,000, can you believe, on those sunglasses in season two? I think there's been more expensive things than that.
Definitely. But, like, a bag? I'll never get the purse culture. It's not for me.
Say that when you have money. I actually do really get it because I think that is more of an, I get that. I get bags and accessories more than I get like a t-shirt or a pair of pants, right? Because a bag, a bag also does gain value. Those things are collector's items at that point. They do gain value. Like, you could one day sell things. Like, they become worth things in long term. And then, in addition to that, like, it's so useful. Like, you actually do use it. Like, it's not like, say you buy a $10,000 gown. that gown that you spent $10,000 on, you're not wearing it to brunch. Like, you're not wearing it, like, you're not using it to go to happy hour with the girls. You wear it to that one wedding or that one event or whatever, and then you put it in your closet and you're like, well, I don't know what to do with that now, right? But a bag, even if you have 20 bags, you're still using them more than you would use a heavily priced, even a suit. I get it. Okay. I do get it. I mean, I don't have money to shell things out for bags like that, but like, if there's something to invest, but Kix, you have invested in a backpack before.
Yeah, it costs like $200.
Okay, but no, listen, like, that's not that different. I mean, I understand the price is very different, but like, you're like, you saved money to spend $200 on a bag that you like can use long term.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense.
But a neon yellow Birkin.
Yeah, but $20,000 to her is our $200. I'm serious. It literally is. Yeah. Her and the Umansky realtor franchise he has, what's it called? The agency. I mean, they have so much money. I'm sure their net worth is like $50 million.
No, I'm shaking my head because I'm like, yeah.
But that's what that's what I really love about her is that she is a $50 million bitch, but also like down to like just do shots and hang out.
And they have like a more modest house than some of the other girls, I think. Like, she doesn't really show off like the other girls do.
I think the house is not modest, but I think that she just doesn't show it off.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah.
But once again, I want to say, I do think she's a pot stirrer and I do think she gets into shit, but that's why we watch these shows. So
exactly.
The fodder continues to be so dumb on social media. And I mean that dumb because people aren't thinking. I'm like, y'all, do you honestly watch this to laugh? Do you want to watch this to lols for lols?
For lols?
Cause sometimes I don't think you're watching it for lols.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Nothing to say about that? No, I know. Everyone who decides to go on reality TV is questionable in their, you know.
Yeah, you just know you want to be famous for just being yourself. So, right,
so and
or being a fake character like Rinda.
Do I want to be famous for being myself? Absolutely. Of course I do. Yes. I would totally do it. I don't think you would.
No, I would do it if I could be like live in my apartment that I have, buy this $200 bag that I've been looking at.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
Well, see, my cat. If I did it, you could join like as like a friend up, you know,
that's what I'm hoping for. That's really what we're going after here.
I just think that where I thrive on it is I love accountability. I love to see someone be like... I would love to be like, you did that though. Don't lie, you did that. I do that in everyday life.
I feel like I would be so good as a friend of, or even just the sibling, like Leah's sister.
The Mal, or the Mal of Atlanta.
No. Oh, Leah's sister is cooler, I think.
Yes, she is cooler.
Where she just comes in so hot and you're like, oh my God. That's what I'm
interested in. I feel that. So Crystal threw this beautiful Chinese New Year party, which was absolutely stunning and was at the fucking Kill Bill restaurant. I didn't know this existed in real life.
I thought
they built it for the movie. I didn't realize it was someplace we could go.
Yeah, what the fuck going. Are we doing? Yeah, we're going.
I'm sorry. Screw like Vanderpump's restaurants. I'm going to the Kill Bill place.
Literally fuck Pump.
And if you are listening, you haven't seen Kill Bill, what are you doing? Log off. Still rate us 5 stars, but log off for now.
Yeah. I every time I was sick in high school, in middle school, that's what I would do all day is just watch Kill Bill 1 and 2.
It's so when amazing.
Crystal was like, this place is so beautiful, and it happens to be where they filmed.
I knew exactly what it is. The second they walked in, I was like, you be like Lucy Liu died upstairs in the garden, and that girl with the chains got decapitated right there in the foyer. Yeah. That movie's so good. I want to watch that.
The tonight. Balcony. Like when they were standing up there the whole time, I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
That's so fucking good. Oh my God.
That's money. Okay. That is money. The fact you were like, yeah, I'm just going to rent out this whole place for 12 people.
I know. Now, I'm mad at something that happened this episode. And I'm mad mostly mad at myself. Kathy brought this character, Elliot Minsk. Okay. Now, Kathy was with Elliot Minsk a couple weeks ago, and there was no title card underneath him. And yes, I promise she was, because I DM'd Steve, because Steve, Faced by Bravo, was like, post a photo. And I was like, no, everyone should remember that this is the guy that Lisa was stuck at the table with when everyone was doing quote unquote cocaine in Dorit's bathroom. I'm so mad that I didn't make a fucking meme about it or something, because then I saw him again today. I was like, this is my time. I can make a meme about the fact that, do you recognize this man? And what does Bravo do? Remind us. I'm so mad. I honestly think Bravo didn't know that until they saw socials and people were like, I think that's the guy from the cocaine night.
It's just weird how they all know each other.
That is such a small place, Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Where is it on the map? Like, where is it in LA? Is it like closer to the valley?
You could pay me $1 million and I would get the geography of LA wrong. So I don't know.
We're going to find out.
There are a lot of things I know, and that's one thing I don't. So Garcelle, the two feuds, Garcelle and Rinna. Okay. The biggest feud I had an issue with in this episode was Garcelle and Rinna, because I really think Rinna, I learned this because of what happened this episode. She does not respond to any sort of like guidance, constructive criticism, anything well. She wants to be on Lisa Rinna's terms from the moment she wakes up tonight. And the fact that someone told her that she needs to apologize to Denise Richards because she literally dragged Denise for absolutely no reason last season.
For 20 episodes.
For her to get, she got angry in that confessional that they cut to. She was so nice to Garcelle's face. And the confession, she's like, no one tells me what to do. No one's going to do this. No one's going to do that. I'm like,
tell people what to do.
I know,
do.
But you know why all that is? She realizes she's wrong.
Yeah.
She knows she fucked up. And there are other moments on the show that she does not know that she fucked up in. Like, there are other moments where I think she really was like when she told Kim Richards that she thought she was on a road to death. She thought she was making good TV. That's the meme that comes, you know, the meme of her with the math problem. Where she's like, what? Oh, that was, Kyle was like, did you wish death on my sister? So that's an example. Munchausen's, that's another example. Also,
Coke in the bathroom.
I'm sure there's more. All these things,
the whole threesome situation for 20 episodes.
Well, right. That's what we're talking about, but. Right. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those ones separately, because those things she did for TV, okay? She started the Denise thing for TV, and then she entered a realm of like taking down someone that she has known for like 20 years. That would be like me taking down like one of my best college friends or something like that. Like when the cameras go up. I can't imagine that.
For what?
Like taking down a friend of mine once the cameras go up.
Yeah, literally for what? Like I'm sure if the threesome drama, she didn't like pick at it so much, there would have been other things that would have happened. Like there just was nothing else that season, because all she could literally talk about or make anyone else talk about was this stupid threesome. Who fucking cares?
And she knew, like, she was in deep shit by the end of the season, and then she doubled down and went over to Denise's house and was like, you're so angry. It's like, fuck off. Like,
she's drives me crazy. I don't know, like, I'm sure she will be back full time, because she's like, like, she didn't really do much for this season, like, except be Erica's like little side bitch. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like the whole season, she was just like gaslighting Garcelle about her emotions, and then Team Erica, but we didn't even get a lot of, like, one-on-one time with her and her family, really. Like, I don't know. She was just kind of a side character this season.
Yeah, and in the title cards at the end of everyone's storylines, like, hers was, like, about her daughter and what's his face?
Scott Disick.
Right, I'm like, that wasn't even a storyline on the show.
She tried.
I wonder if Chris had something to say about that.
I don't know.
Do you think? Could you see Chris being like, her. Could you see, but could you, over Chris or Lisa or both?
Both, but more Lisa is what I meant.
But could you, I feel like I could see Chris being like, texting Kathy and Kyle being like, hey, tell Lisa she can't talk about Scott.
Yeah.
It's that's like, he's Chris my Jenner, he's my show.
Yeah, and he's also her, like, essentially son. So, like,
yeah.
I feel like there's some cease and desist that might have happened.
Yeah. Well, excited for the reunion. There's a lot to look forward to. We're yeah. super excited.
The reunion trailer was fucking wild.
It was wild. I do think they missed a huge opportunity. And I said this on Diana's podcast, which will come out sometime this week. I think that the beginning of the reunion where, like, it was like Kyle, I mean, Lisa and Erica sitting down.
Literally hated that.
No, but why didn't they put it in the episode? It would have been absolutely genius to, like, put that, like, at the end of the episode, be like 2 months later and they sit down.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, interpolate the, like, reunion in the reunion preview into a final scene. Like they did when they surprised us and told us that Vanderpump Rules was like, there's the episode of Beverly Hills in season 3 that turns into an episode of Vanderpump Rules out of literally nowhere. Yeah. And you're like, where am I? And then there's the episode of Vanderpump Rules that turns into a Summer House episode in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
They should have done that. That would have been absolutely genius. But, you know, Bravo doesn't pay me the bucks yet.
They don't.
Yet.
Manifesting.
I don't know if
bitch.
I'd work there. Because then I don't think they'd let us do this podcast.
No.
Which that doesn't sound fun.
No.
But
you know what was fun?
Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake.
So,
Mama.
I'm obsessed with Angie. And I don't care that she did something shady for the cameras.
Angie's the new blonde white woman, right?
Sarah Paulson, yeah.
She does look like Sarah Paulson.
Yeah. Did you not see the internet was up in arms about it?
No, but her talking about, like, having a full-blown conversation about Chick-fil-A.
While having a, and once again, you're bringing this up and I just said I stan her. What I'm saying is I really like her for the show. She's a great,
oh,
she made
absolutely.
Drama in where there wasn't. And we wouldn't have had drama and without her. So I gotta.
Tom, you said this on Dumpster Dive, the Instagram, that you were like, what the fuck? Out of nowhere, no clues, no hints.
Yeah.
Were we given a full-time, well, I was a full-time friend of. with an interview.
Right off the bat.
Right off the motherfucking bat.
For her, but yes, so, yeah. For her to say that she has a trans child and then be like, but I go to Chick-fil-A 2 times a day.
Every day, breakfast or lunch.
I mean, scratch my head. And here's the thing. When I understand Chick-fil-A is a franchised business, right? So the franchise owners of certain Chick-fil-A's may not put their own money into anti-LGBTQIA+ conversion camps, right? Guess what, though? Part of your check goes to HQ, and guess where HQ donates to? Everywhere that is awful. So when I see someone walking around with a Chick-fil-A, like, sandwich in the city, because they're in the city now, I'm like, literally throw it away. Guess what? Did I grow up eating chicken biscuits every Friday when I went to high school? Absolutely. It's the best thing ever. 1,000%. Guess what? Do I miss it?
They're
of course. That's
delicious.
Why I'm a vegetarian.
Okay. No, but there you can make them yourself. And that's a whole nother
Wait,
podcast.
Wait, say that one more time. We lost your audio on that part.
Oh.
You went completely silent. You were like, we can...
No, you can make them yourself. All they do is marinate in pickle juice, so go look it up. There's a million TikToks about it. Figure it out. Ladies, gents. Okay.
Really, I miss the fries and the dips, to be honest with you.
Honestly, no. I always skipped the fries and the dips.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It was only about the chicken biscuits.
No, the fries and that honey roast barbecue sauce.
It that never really got it for me because I would rather like Alexia frozen French fries with my Chick-fil-A Who's Alexia? Sandwich than a great frozen French fry company.
Wait, you would rather have a frozen fry?
Yeah, than Chick-fil-A's nasty waffle fries.
This is hard. This is hard to hear. Do you remember when you got upset about something? I don't want to bring it up. That was related to like our upbringing. This is that for me.
You fucking ass. This is not that.
Chick-fil-A was where the not shit went that. Down. And the fries, the little crunchies that get in the bottom of it. Oh my.
They're just not that
they're
good.
They're so fucking good to me.
And that's what I mean.
I would dip my fingertips in the honey roasted barbecue sauce to get a crumb. Okay. We've given too much breath, Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my point was she loves Chick-fil-A, whatever. I do enjoy the conversation about KFC and Lisa Barlow saying, I've been really into KFC recently.
Right, as if like that's a new franchise. Also, KFC's Someone's, biscuits are gross, okay? I'm sorry.
I think KFC is so salty.
Everything is dry as fuck. You need a gallon of water to bathe in after you finish eating any of it.
Great.
No, but this.
I mean, that whole episode was just the party, right? What else?
Yeah, happened? So the party happens where Angie is like, the caterer is canceled, and like, I think you were involved in it. And what ended up happening post the show, which is these are moments that I do enjoy the Instagram because it is enlightening. What happened apparently was that the people that were catering. Are really good friends of Lisa Barlow. And they were asked by Bravo to do a couple things. Some things at the restaurant that they own and then some things to actually like cater. And so apparently they were like, if you cater, we won't use your name. Like it's about the event. It's about the charity. It's not about you. And they were like, okay, well, we're not going to do it then. Because like if we're going to do these things, like we want advertising, which is why people go on these shows. It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So they said no. And so Angie, either she's an idiot or she is a genius. There's only two options, okay? If she's an idiot, she thought Lisa Barlow had something to do with it. If she's a genius, she was like, this is a great chance to take Lisa Barlow down. I think she's actually a genius because I do think, I saw someone post this and I feel bad that I'm not crediting them, but I read this and I agree with them, was that like Lisa and Angie were friends, were like, like, do you have friends in your life? I mean, I know all of your friends, but like that you're like arm's length with them, but you're still like, you still have a good time with them, but you're arm's length. And if you could take them down, if you had the opportunity to take them down, you could, but it's like not worth it. I can think of someone. But seriously, so I think what happened was, is that that is Angie and Lisa. She's like, this is this woman who is a bit of an opportunist person, but I like going to her parties. I have fun. I'm also kind of, supposedly she tested to be on season one.
I wonder if she was at Jen Shaw's not birthday party for Meredith. She probably was there.
So she apparently was at that female entrepreneur party in that tent that Lisa Barlow threw. Remember that random scene that was just
invited,
like, these are my friends who are entrepreneurs. I sound like Jennifer Coolidge.
You do kind of sound like her, though. That's honestly pretty good.
I don't know. I'm not good at impressions. I do a good Dorinda. We know that, but don't come to my event and cancel.
There it is.
Cancel the caterers unless you fucking know the caterers, okay?
Great. I'm glad we got there, even though we're not talking about New York at all. No. But sure.
But I do think that Angie's a genius on TV. I think she lives in a double standard as the best housewives do. And I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. And the party, the fact that someone dropped, I guess not dropped is the right word. They donated $1 million.
That's crazy.
Like, do you think that was real?
I mean, I hope so. They said it on television.
I'm like,
I mean, that's an all-time low to be like, I'm going to donate $1 million that I won't actually do that.
A million.
I know, that's a lot of money, but.
That's a lot of money.
I agree, but.
No, but I mean, in donating to a good cause, we're not donating to Chick-fil-A here. So I thought the party was so fun. Well,
indirectly, we are donating to Chick-fil-A because.
Exactly. Sure. Fuck. No, I am enjoying Mary so much.
So much. And I can't wait to see what triggers.
She's bringing so much more. Yeah. Because she's like getting what her job is. She's like, oh, I have to like be on camera and like do silly things and people will talk about me. Because her trying to climb over that banister for fuck knows why.
I didn't understand that at all, but I was enthralled.
And her, Whitney saying, you can put down your champagne. She said, no, I can't. It's Vuv.
She's amazing.
What does that even mean?
She is what she's what housewives used to be. People that didn't understand reality. That's why in the olden days, Ramona worked. Because Ramona, like, was an awful person, like Mary likely is as well. But, like, didn't get the television aspect of it all.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's a full LOL. And I really, I know we're covering this week's episode, but next week's episode, we got a preview of Mary going, do you see this preview?
No.
So Mary goes over to Whitney's house to do some like fun activity with the kids, with the kids.
Oh yes. She's like, I saw this clip.
Sorry. I'm a little flustered because, well, this woman at my church, she, well, she's dead. She, flung out of the sun thing of her car, and then rolled down a hill. Wear your seatbelt, and then the
in front of Whitney's
and the
children
kids go,
that are children.
And the kids go, I think she didn't say she was dead at that point because the kids go,
yeah,
is she alive? And Mary goes, no, but I'm excited to be here.
Literally crazy. Cuckoo. And I understand why these women want to be around her. Because I too would want to be around her because she is insane.
Yeah, I would cling on to her for anything because she's reality TV gold.
Yeah. Truly. Oh my god, she's so fucking funny.
And when she was like Jen Shaw, the closet door's open, but it like has that electric thing in it where like if you touch it, you like get electrocuted. It's like
not Jen Shaw inviting her and her husband to like a meal at her home and her just being like, okay.
Jen is scrambling for allies. But
in television.
Yep.
She wasn't really in this episode.
So apparently the shit goes down in episode like 6 or 7. Which this is episode 4.
Mm-hmm. We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yes, ma'am. Well, what?
Stand by it. It's going to be a good season. And I know you, Tom Hamlet, have your doubts.
No, I think it's good. I do think it's better than a lot of things you've seen. But I do think that I hate when Bravo puts so much into some of these shows and some of these cast members when it's like, let them write it out. Like, these are human beings who, like, are going to likely fuck up. So, like, let's not stan them yet. You know, let's not stan a franchise yet. And speaking of standing human beings that will fuck up, I would like to transition to Potomac because Candace really took the darkest of turns.
I am enjoying Potomac a lot because her and Mia's anger and hatred towards each other is bringing some good TV.
So I have,
and not in a way that like puts pressure on my chest like Giselle does.
Yeah.
Like I'm like actively watching and being like, I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah. So Sel of Who Asked Me podcast, friend of the pod, she posted something on her story that I want to read, which is an insight into not an insight, just a different thought on the Candace Mia thing, which I actually found really, really interesting. And this is a tweet from this person, Rodney the Voice, Delilah Spirit, on, I assume they're, Delilah Spirit is who was it? It was on last season of Potomac, remember? They were like, you're Delilah Spirit. Remember that?
No, that's Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta, yes.
Drew.
Yes. So Delilah Spirit says, Mia has made her mother cry in every scene, but it's on Candace if she relapses. Girl, you brought her on TV and exploited her for a storyline. Hush. Hashtag Arch OP and then the sh emoji. Now, I think that Candace is a bully, but I think she is kind of.
Yeah.
Bully's a mean word, but I do think she's bullying Mia. But I do also agree with this, though, because I do think that, like, Mia needs to have a bit of, like self-realization that she's bringing her mother into. She brought her mom is watching the children for a storyline on the show. Like, while her and G are on this vacation. Like, that's a weird storyline move. Like, in another world, you would say, like, you would just have the babysitter watch because, like, you don't have to film with mom. But instead, she's, like, living her storyline in a way that's almost a bit like, is that a good idea?
Well, we don't know. But I will say what you're saying sounds a lot like how you feel about the Brooks drama with Jen. It's like you're on a television show. And Brooks, while is making an active, more of an active,
that's what's different about
decision
it.
And role in the show, like you can't really get too in your emotions about drama when Brooks is choosing to be there and activating.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's similar.
I mean, I think it is because it's like Meredith's getting so pressed about Brooks Marks, rightfully so, because he, like, she's
but
her
Meredith
son.
Meredith,
like,
decided to feature him as a full storyline on the show last season for the world
okay,
to watch.
What's different than that?
No.
That's what Mia's doing right now. That's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
No, but she brought him on to for the world to watch, and Brooks leaned in. Mia's mom isn't leaning in. Mia's mom is like, if this is the only way I can see my daughter, I'll do anything to see her because I want a relationship with her. Brooks is like, I want to do a reality show with my mom.
Yeah.
That backfired, the Brooks one, obviously. But like with Mia, I hope it doesn't backfire because I actually do think they've gotten good ground, good footing for a relationship because of the show, which is like maybe the first time in the history of reality television. Like, did someone, like, brought a real-life storyline on the show and it ended positively?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get my hopes up about it, but I do think that, like, it's there are conversations they would have never had if she was on a TV show. But I do think that point is interesting. I do also think, though, that Candace, this whole fucking time, did know.
Of course she
that
knew.
That Mia's mom, like, was in jail, was addicted to drugs, like all these things. Like, I think that she did know this. And
Mia grew up in the situation she grew up in. Like, she's not, there's no fucking way she didn't know. Like, if
they've been filming for 3 months and this has come up 1,000 times. Like, I'm shocked that no wife, no like cast member has been like, wow. I like the fact that Giselle didn't call her and be like, I went to drinks with Mia. And like,
that's what I'm saying. Giselle and Robin obviously told someone. Like, they're both like the green-eyed bandits. Like,
but
I don't even think
that that's rude. I think it's like, I think that's a good thing to tell someone, to be like, hey, just so you know, like, I know Mia came across kind of like new and different and like a little abrasive in like an episode because she's like coming in ready to film a reality show. But just so you know, like, there is more to her, and I encourage you to get to know her. She grew up in a foster home. She grew up in this. She did this, this, and this. So, like, she's excited to be here on this reality show, but just, like, keep these things in mind when you're filming. I would do that if I was on a show with a friend.
Yeah.
And when I say abrasive, what I mean is, like, she walked in ready to be on a show. Like, she was like, I am going to stir up drama the first second I'm here. And, like, that's what I mean by that. I don't want it to come across like I'm, like, calling a person of color abrasive. I just think that she entered into spaces ready to be on TV, you know?
Yeah, and I think like if Candace has any sort of relationship with Giselle and Robin, that, or even Karen, I'm sure Karen knew too, that like, you know, that Candace goes fucking hard on people on Twitter and the show. She's like, so quick to like have a little punchline that as like a friend of Candace, I would have been like, hey, just so you're aware before we like all get together, I know you have your like feelings towards Mia. You just need to know this about her background, just because, like, don't bring it up.
Right.
Or like, or just like, in case it's brought up, you're not shocked.
Yeah.
And say something you're gonna regret.
Yeah, we act like these women, like, don't talk when the cameras go down. They're talking all the time.
Yeah.
So I think she definitely knew her calling her mom low rent, low budget, whatever, is god awful, and Mia is doing a really good job of trying to like keep it together, because I would lose my mind, I think, and do I would do more than throwing salad. I wouldn't lay hands, but I would be getting in that person's face and being like, please rethink your life choices before you start talking shit about my family. Please, please do.
Yeah, this little vacation, not vacation they're on, is going to be really interesting because we also get a hot take character.
Who's that? G. Oh, G, okay. A hot take character, what does that mean?
I don't know. I don't know what that means, but he's coming in hot.
G, G, G. How do you solve a problem like G, G? I love how before G was like, I don't want to go to this. It's not going to be fun. Am I going to have to drink to have fun? And she's like, I don't know, maybe. They get there, and the first 2 seconds, I was having a blast in the beginning. I was like, they are doing
so fun
shots in a way that I could never.
I have.
I'm not a shot. I'm not a shot girl.
I love shots, but not, I would do them now.
I'm not someone who's like, I want to go do shots tonight. Like, I'm not like excited about that. Like they were like, let's get drunk and do shots. I'm like, can I just have like a double vodka soda and like sit in the back and like sip it?
Right, the sun's out. Not everyone's there. Like, you want to be on a similar level to the people that are coming in late.
Right.
Like, have like a glass of wine and take it easy. And then when everyone gets here, let's do like a toast.
Right, yeah.
But they're pulling shots, as we used to say. So.
Yes. And so... Gigi, as we call her, Gigi. She gets a little
XOXO,
the new housewife, the new cherry blossom of the season, Gigi. Gigi gets a little crazy, and Gigi starts referencing his huge ass dick, and then he pantomimes what it's like to fuck a white girl.
In front of people he literally just met.
I'm like,
and then is calling Mia something, I can't even remember, something nasty, and then is like flaunting his money in front of people.
Yeah,
wild.
Do you think that that was, what do you think the process was there with the G-Wagon?
I think that I have seen something similar with a friend in high school, that it was like, it's like puffing your chest out a little bit after two beers, being like, look how much money I have, let me go like tell my wife something and show everybody how like better I am than them. It's just, it like, it did feel a little familiar to me because I've like seen something similar, but like no one cares. And that's what I love about Potomac, is that like they don't really talk about, like, obviously they talk about money because Robin and Karen both were in debt and owed some tax dollars. But like they don't walk in with like Birkins and like pantomime them to everyone like they do in Beverly Hills. So it's just like a little bit insane that this drunk man who's already caused so much chaos.
So much chaos.
Is coming in on speakerphone about talking about a custom G-Wagon. But Mia is really, really unfazed by it.
Which makes me kind of sad. I'm like, Mia.
No, I mean, it doesn't make me sad. It just makes me be like, oh, yeah, this is not, he's not like showing off. Like, this is what he's like.
I know, but like, Mia, my heart, I like really like Mia. Like, my heart breaks for Mia a lot of the times. And I really think I like her. And I
like her too. I
struggle with the relationship with G, and also the fact that she has like deep daddy issues, and like her letting this man, this older man, call her, like tell her to shut the fuck up because he doesn't get to say that all the time. Like, I can't imagine from a therapist perspective that it doesn't correlate pretty closely with how men have spoken to her in her past, you know? It just makes me kind of sad, you know. I, her to, for her to be unfazed by something like that.
I think it's fucked up. I'm not agreeing with G. I think that she's comfortable with it, which is messed up, but like, I don't really
but that makes me sad. Like, I think she's comfortable with it because like, it's something that's happened to her for all of her life. She's like, oh yeah, men tell me to shut the fuck up sometimes, but I won't let a woman tell me that. Well, that's where we're at with her.
Yeah. I don't know. And then Robin, at the end of the episode, we get like a little teaser and Robin and Giselle show up. Oof. And have to sleep in double beds in the basement. Or in the attic.
What did they think was going to happen?
Yeah. I can't.
Yeah. Karen was not featured very much this episode, I realized.
No, she really wasn't. I mean, we got like the intro with her and Ray when Ashley came to pick them up.
Was this Karen episode or last week? We didn't talk about this. The weird like phone call Ray got.
I think that was last week.
That was kind of weird to me.
It was weird, but a part of me was like, I get so many fucking spam text messages.
I
know. That
I have like a spam. I have like a robo blocker now.
Yeah.
So.
But I wasn't really that fazed by it. Of course, like the commercials and the teasers for the season had it being like such a thing. Yeah, but no, when it happened, I kind of believed him a little bit.
I know. I'm sure he's never cheated. He's an idiot, but I don't think he could get away with cheating.
No.
Like, I don't think he would know how to get away with it. He would do a very, because like, Karen Tom Girardi, like, flip phone nudes. Like, the razor
from 1999. Right, yeah.
Well, that's our shows. Is there anything else you'd like to say on this one-year anniversary? Oh my God. One-year B-Day?
No, we really said it all.
We talked about a lot, and it's always a nice little reset to just chat as the two of us about these things, and
yes,
we'll do more of this, but we also have some really exciting guests lined up. I'm
for
something
a second year.
So one guest, there's one guest I get nervous about saying guests because what happens if they cancel, but someone I am really excited for that is definitely going to show. I'll say two people. One, Kai, Real Housewives Orders. So excited for that. It's going to be a blast.
I can't wait.
And then...
it's one of my favorite meme accounts, Instagram accounts, truly.
Yes, so good.
I'm so excited.
And then next week we have Jamie Stein coming on, who is a empath, who is going to... who famously reads the housewives, like reads their energies. And I am so excited to hear his reads on Kix and I's sibling business relationship.
Oh, man. I will shed a tear, I'm sure. It's just bound to happen.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch you cry.
Yeah, can't wait. We have, well.
Watch you cry. No, but there are more guests coming up, though, that are really, really exciting. And I won't say them because every time we say them, we end up getting in trouble because they don't show up.
Yeah, we jinx it. But before we wrap up the episode, once again, Tom, thank you so much.
Yes, of course.
This has been such a fun year. Mm-hmm. We've always talked so much. Nothing's changed. We talk every day, no matter if we're on the podcast or off it. But it's been such a fun journey.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And think of all the people we got to meet, you know? Mm-hmm. And all the people we still get to meet.
Yeah.
You can follow me at @TheTomHamlet, and you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X.
Yep, and then the podcast is at Dumpster Dive Pod. Rate, review, subscribe. Our Patreon is on pause right now as we focus on work and self-care and the holiday episodes. That will resume in the new year. A great way to support us is just by rating, reviewing, subscribing. So do that. And
it's free.
It's free. Say bye to everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.